John, let's talk about touching.
All right. Wow. Icky.
That's a great touching, you think. It's a great way to start any podcast. I'm just trying to hook the listeners in and viewers so they'll say, what is he going to say next?
If they logged in already, they're already hooked.
I am a provocateur. I make things very provocative. I just wanted to slide provocateur into the
I know you did. I can't tell you how many times we talk about that behind your back. Oh, have you talked with the provocateur lately? Oh, you mean Nick? Well, yeah. Who else would I be talking about?
Yeah. That's the only word I've never actually heard someone completely screw up is provocateur. You know, he's a provocateur. And I've never heard that.
Unlike restaurateur.
Well, yeah. We're, yeah.
I'm not pointing at you necessarily.
Oh, but
I'm
you are. At, I know you are.
People are,
I can feel it. I can feel the pointing. There you go.
People who are in the business still say it wrong.
Restaurant. Yeah, I was going to say that. I've got friends spelling. Who own a restaurant, and they, granted, they English is not their
instantly
English
terminated.
Is not his first language. So,
well, anyway. I'll cut them some slack then. But yeah. That's you should be instantly terminated if you are a restaurateur and cannot say restaurateur.
Yeah, he actually, we got to visit my friends, or our friends, they're not my friends specifically, the other, last weekend. They're like family to us, and their daughter was in a play, so we went to see the play. And we were chatting about the restaurant and the troubles that they go through, which is, it's very interesting, some of the things. But one of the things that he was talking about is he actually spent their spring break in Chicago. So he lives here in Nashville, but they spent it in Chicago working for a Michelin star restaurant, just learning. He's like, I do that all the time. And I'm like, that's really interesting. I wonder how many chefs actually take time off to go work at another restaurant just to learn a little bit more.
I think, you know what? It's a great concept. It's a great concept. And I'm sure if they could afford to, a whole bunch would. Because for the ones that I see, and I think it's fair to say I've watched more Chopped episodes than anyone, perhaps besides my wife and the people on the show. I probably watch more than they have. And a lot of the chefs are really focused on, you know, how can I get to the next level? And so many have traveled a lot when they've been able to. But it's sad that the other half of them or three quarters of them work themselves crazy. They work themselves into divorces, and they work themselves into, you know, bad marriages. And I guess that goes hand in hand, and just, you know, family problems and so on, because they work 80 plus hours a week.
Yeah.
And it's detrimental.
It's interesting. I'd like to know what your thoughts are on that, because I am a workaholic. You can ask my wife. I definitely love to work, and I have made a conscious effort in the last 13 years that I've been married to not, granted, I still probably don't spend enough time with my family, but I purposely made a point where I stop working and spend time with my family. You know, when I'm at home working from home, my job is fantastic. It's not a true 9-to-5 necessarily. But I do, when I'm at home, I will stop at 5 so I can go cook dinner and spend time with my family. That's what I do. It doesn't mean that I don't get back on my computer when everyone's asleep. But I have that luxury, which is nice, but I know for a fact that I would be much further in life. Probably not much happier, but much further in life if I actually spent the time that I do working. Does that make sense? Like doing the 80-hour weeks and focusing on my career and building my career. I would be much further along if I didn't focus on that. So, you know, there's definitely a trade-off there. What's more important to you? For me, it's my family. I've made that choice.
Sure.
And I live a very, very good life. And I get to spend time with you at least once a week on the podcast. You know what? I probably wouldn't be able to do that if I was a true, true workaholic or living up to my workaholic standards.
You are a half-assed workaholic.
that's a really good, you know, I usually say, because people consider me a, you know, an A type personality. I'm like, I'm not definitely not an A personality, A type, maybe an A minus, no. B plus, but not an A type A. Yeah.
It's all about perspective. When you're younger, and this is the part that sucks, this is the, this is why you see 70-year-old dudes driving Corvettes, mm-hmm. because they work their whole working time and it's all about work. And by the time they can afford the vet or the Ferrari or the whatever it is, none of the hot girls want them anyway. So, right. And I see it all over in Florida where you've got, you don't see any 25-year-old dudes driving a Porsche. You just don't. And right. the ones that do have wealthy parents or live in Vegas, but
down or you, here, or their so YouTube stars, click the like and subscribe. Or their
YouTube stars. That's true. And you can, yes, smash the like button.
Smash the like button. Make sure you hit the little bell so you know whenever one of these podcasts are live.
That's right. And notification bell.
Notification bell. Thank you.
But it's a choice. It's a choice that you make. And there's the old saying that we've all heard at the end of your life when you're when it's all said and done, you're not going to say, I wish I would have spent more time at the office or more time right. working. Well, and that's true. Okay, you're not going to.
I honestly think that depends on your perspective on what you do. If what you do makes your life better, makes other people's lives better, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I'm going to use my stepdad as the example. He loved what he did to the point where he didn't have to retire at 72. Well, he did because he had Alzheimer's. He probably would have worked longer if he didn't realize he was losing his mind slowly, but he retired at 72 because he loved it so much. Now he had family, lost family, blah, 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 because he was career oriented, sure. But he would be one person that would say, I wish I could have spent more time at the office because he loved his work so much. And I know people
and
like
that's
that.
Good, but the problem is though, Nick, it's we only have so much time. And right. when you split it 80-20 work to family, the family is not going to grow in the way that it might. And no. So I think it's and this is us getting all philosophical, but I think it's got to be a conscious choice. I did the 80-hour plus weeks working in the dealership. And when I was there, I'm in my zone and this is what you do. And I know a lot of people that do the same thing. And especially self-employed people, it's, I've got to go all into this. And there's a lot to be said for working to earn later, but life throws you curveballs sometimes. Sure. And you just never know, something changes or, I don't know, let's say cancer and you get a thing, multiple myeloma. And what's really important, it's not the time at work, it's and so it changes your perspective, or it allows you the opportunity to change your perspective. I'm with you, work is really rewarding if you enjoy what you do. If you right. don't enjoy what you do, it's a whole different conversation.
Right. And that's kind of where I was going with that whole point, because for some people, family isn't as important. I don't know many of those people. Family is more important to me, but for some
people, I hate my family.
Right. For some people, work is more important than having a family.
That's a good point.
It doesn't mean that they don't have a family. Look at Elon Musk. He is literally, quite literally changing the world. And I have to believe he loves doing it. It's not about the money. I mean, look at how frivolous he is with his money. It's calculated, but it's frivolous. You know, let's go buy Twitter for $42 million, $1 billion.
Amazing. 43 billion.
Yeah, 43, sorry. 1 billion. what does 1 billion mean? I mean, nothing in today's day and age.
It means you wouldn't have to work 80 hours a week.
But that's a good point. He doesn't work 80 hours a week. He works twice that. I mean,
I'm sure he does, you know, and what's different is what does the work entail? If it's
right,
if your work and you don't enjoy it and it entails being somewhere else, that's a whole, again, a different conversation. Where you're Elon Musk, who probably works 20 hours a day, but he's working every time he's awake. He's consciously, right, and probably when he's sleeping too, consciously thinking of how could we, and he has people that frankly give him support in that too. I mean, right, don't think that this is my final offer for Twitter. Don't think that he doesn't have a plan B, because he said that at a TED conference.
Oh yeah. He's probably got a plan B and a plan C. B. Yeah.
I'm guessing maybe even a D. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how we got to this point when I was talking about touching.
That's what I love about this podcast.
Me too.
You never know where we're
going. I hope everybody loves this. Because
we started by
this.
Saying, well, we
let's talk about touching.
yeah, we were going to start talking about touching.
We
were, so aren't folks, you glad we went this route, listeners and viewers?
Aren't you glad?
Aren't you happy?
Aren't you happy? Aren't you glad? Yeah. No, what we were really, right, what we started out was talking about, I don't know how we went from geography, which is what it was, to work, because I wanted to talk about a useless piece of knowledge that I learned last night. We were watching YouTube, of course, you know, you learn everything on YouTube.
Yeah.
So what are the two states in the United States that touch, they touch each other, but they also touch more states than any other state in the union?
Well, it would have to be, I would think, center of the country, right?
Center-ish, yeah. One of them is definitely center.
Okay. I would say, you think of Texarkana. I am looking at the map, but I'm not looking hard, because I think I know the answer already. Because,
well, give me the answer. What two states that touch each other have more states touching them than any other state in the union, or states in the union?
Well, you said Tennessee and Missouri.
Did I say that on the podcast or before the podcast?
Before the podcast.
See, but the listeners didn't know.
Well, you told me to cheat. You told me to say
it. I know. Go ahead and say it. Yeah.
So Tennessee, Missouri, Tennessee. So let's look. Let's count. Because Tennessee, I'm just looking at, and it's pretty evident. You've got Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, West Virginia.
Virginia.
I can't tell.
Yeah.
Virginia.
Not West Virginia.
Kentucky. Kentucky, Illinois.
Illinois doesn't come down all the way.
Doesn't it?
Illinois. Nope.
It does too.
Nope. Kentucky is in the way. Oh, no, you're right.
Mississippi River.
Nope.
Mississippi River, baby.
Someone, we're going to have to get someone on the let's go to the phones, folks.
No, you're right.
Someone's going to have to tell us, because I don't think Illinois touches.
Nope, it doesn't. You're right. It's sure close, though, isn't it?
It is very close. It's very close. I mean,
it's Missouri around the Mississippi there.
Yep.
Yeah.
I do think there is a weird.
Does not have a great.
No, it really doesn't. So Missouri has Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and that's it.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
I didn't even realize that. Well, and if you think about it, you go to like Nebraska, you would think would have a lot, but it doesn't because the states are bigger. There aren't as many that touch it.
Is there a point? Here's another useless point. And I honestly, when this question was posed, I didn't think about it well enough, because I thought of Tennessee when I heard the question. Mm-hmm. What state, and this is the part that I missed, what state can you, or where can you stand in the United States where you are standing in four different places at once, four different states at once?
Well, isn't that the Texarkana or whatever it is?
It's
no,
close.
That's,
so
it's
I
the
thought,
four, it's the four
it's
corners.
The four corners, right? Yes. When I heard that, though, I thought they were talking about you can see different states, because if you're standing in Rock City in Chattanooga, you can actually see five different states. Oh, but wow. This is actually sitting or standing in a spot, which is the Four Corners, which is Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, and Arizona. You can actually stand in the four corners of those states and be in all four states at once.
Yeah, it's called the Four Corners Monument. There's actually a monument there.
Yep.
Only 4 stars on Google, though, so, you know.
Oh, well, probably not something we want to go see then. We'll bring the potty pod. We haven't talked about the potty pod in a long time.
Well, that's because we haven't talked with Bill recently, which we need to do, because
we really do.
He was trying to find us
a potty pod. We both have something we can pull.
That can tow it. Exactly. Yeah. I was just thinking the same thing.
Speaking of, I'm taking my Jeep in. Now it'll be the third time I've gone in to the shop.
Oh.
It only has 1600 miles on it. Which this I will say, I appreciate the honesty of the Master Tech that I rode with. Excuse me, because he said, listen, when Jeep produced the first 4xe, they didn't really come out and train us about different things. It's the first time this vehicle's been out there. And yes, it's very similar in many, many, many ways to a regular Wrangler, but there are systems in there that we just don't know. So, because what happened, I've got this vibration, this weird, like, he made it sound like, you know, it's like you're hitting the rumble strips on the side of the road that go womp, 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 womp. That's what it feels like at about 62, 63 miles per hour.
Awesome sound effects, by the way.
Thank you. So he originally, the dealership thought, okay, it needs to be balanced. So they tried to balance it, didn't work. So I took it back. He rode with me and he's like, I've never felt that before. It's definitely not tires. I don't know what it is. I don't want to mess with it. So I'm going to call Jeep and have my fixed ops person come out. So now the fixed ops person, I guess, gotten hold of an engineer. So now there's an engineer coming to see the Jeep.
Awesome.
So I have to drop it off on Tuesday to find out what's going on, which I thought, again, I really appreciate the honesty, but the fact that it only has 1600 miles on it, and this will be technically the fourth time I've brought it in, is a little ridiculous. It kind of sucks.
I would agree with you. However, this is where this is you being there's a term for it and I can't think of it.
Asshole?
An innovator, essentially. Oh. Well, I know that one well. No, you're like an innovator, though. You want to be foremost in a lot of these cool things. We talked about you're wanting it's a hybrid, essentially, right?
Yep. Plug-in hybrid.
You're wanting the 4xe. Yeah. And because that's you. You're innovative thinking wise. So even though it's kind of a hassle, you're still the first, essentially, that's had this issue that this dealer has seen. And right. I still think it's kind of cool, or a little bit cool, at least. Maybe it's inconvenient, but it's cool that you're getting that attention so they can actually get somebody, an engineer, who designed it, presumptuously anyway, I'm saying that, presumptively, that this is a person who's going to be able to tell you what it is and maybe give you some other insight too. Who knows?
Right. Fingers crossed. I doubt it's going to
be that. You're an innovator.
Straightforward. Yeah, sure.
You're the Lewis and Clark of 4xEs.
Yeah, let's not go that far. Anyway, so that's where I am on that one. But
cool.
Anyway, so we're actually recording this on a Saturday, which, you know, we don't do very often. We don't do mornings. We don't, because usually it's just, you know, a happy hour type thing.
Because you're a workaholic.
Because I'm a workaholic. Because I, you know, put whiskey in my coffee. I guess I could make it happy.
Whiskey business.
I've never done that before. Whiskey business. That's really good. There's
that would be the name of our potty pod.
Yeah.
Whiskey business. I like it. All right. We're
on to
something.
Yep. Keep noodling. I see a $1 million lawsuit in our future.
Well, we're going to
thought I was going to say $1 million business, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I have completely lost my train of thought now.
Perfect.
Oh, welcome. Weekend, to but it's also it's Easter weekend. It's Easter weekend. So you got any big plans for Easter?
Big plans. We do. We have learned over the years not to ever go out for Easter brunch. Ever. Because
why? Because you know they don't serve.
I do not like waiting to be seated at a restaurant. Mm. If you don't like waiting to be seated at a restaurant, never go out on Easter. And even Palm Sunday is much the same. So Lisa has been kind enough to agree with me on that. So
nice.
She's often will have Eggs Benedict, which she does beautifully. She inherited from her mother and the ability to, poaching eggs and hollandaise. And it's really a sight to behold.
Hollandaise for the holidays. So
that's enjoyable. Yeah. Huh?
Hollandaise for the holidays.
Yes. Home for the holidays. Yeah. That's what it is. So we will, to answer your question, we're going to see our son and his family tonight, actually, which is Saturday. And so we're going to go out to dinner with them. Hopefully we won't have the same issue getting food. And then tomorrow we're just going to go to sunrise worship at our church and 7 a.m. outdoors,
nice.
Weather permitting. And we'll do that and probably just enjoy the day back at the house.
See, whenever
How
I hear
it,
nothing, we're absolutely doing absolutely nothing. But anytime I hear brunch, Sunday brunch specifically, I don't think of Easter. I don't think of standing in lines. All I think of that. Eggs Benedict is probably my number one favorite breakfast. It's also anytime I start a vacation, that's the very first breakfast I have on vacation. It's kind of my own little internal tradition. But that said, anytime I hear brunch, I think of Eggs Benedict and Bloody Marys.
Ah, bing.
So when waiting in line for a Bloody Mary, as long as I had one in my hand while I was waiting, I'd be fine. Fine.
That's a good point. We're more... I love Bloody Marys, but I can only do one. And we used to go to a place in Wisconsin it's a bar, and they made these crazy Bloody Marys, and it's almost like people trying to outdo one another.
You've got a full chicken.
Great big, exactly. I've seen that. Well, this one didn't have that, but they had, everything but the big old honking glass with, the Bloody Mary, of course, but then celery and sausage sticks, and one place had a cheeseburger, and it's ridiculous. But even when they are not loaded up like that, I'm good for about one, and then I can't do anymore.
Really? I can do one.
We are more
in each hand.
Do it now.
Yep.
Nice. I learned how to make them with horseradish. And they're amazing with horseradish.
Mm-hmm. It's the only reason I buy horseradish.
I know. Well, yeah, that's about it. We don't do a lot of prime rib or anything.
Yeah.
Where horseradish is great. But we're more mimosa focused.
Mm. Yeah, that's my wife too.
Than Bloody Marys. Yeah. And so that's delicious. They're great.
Oh, yeah, they're good too. I can't go. But whenever I get champagne, I just want to... It's either going to be straight champagne because juice, we've talked about my stomach, right? The fact that certain sweet things give me a bad stomach ache. That's what happens with mimosas and Bellinis. So if I'm going to do any type of champagne, it's just going to be straight champagne, or it's going to be a death in the afternoon, which we've talked about on this podcast as well. Look it up, folks.
We don't
fantastic.
Want that.
Fantastic.
Yes. No.
Great book, and it's also a great drink. Mr. Hemingway, you're amazing.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yes, I remember that well.
So how do you like your Bloody Marys?
Anybody who has a death in the afternoon.
Right. How do you like your Bloody Marys anyways, for the one that you have? Do you like them spicy?
Yeah,
do you like them thick, thin?
And
do you like them with Clamato juice?
You, opposite. I love Clamato, and that's a great reminder. They are delicious when you use the Clamato rather than tomato juice or Mr. and Mrs. Tea or whatever. Not a sponsored ding.
I like Zing Zang. Zing Zang is my favorite.
Oh, okay. And that's, and so is that spicier? I would take it from the name.
You can get spicier, but it's a little thicker than Mr. T's, and it's got a little bit more flavor. So a lot of the
Mr. T's or Mr. and Mrs. T's.
That one.
Mr. T has a whole different one.
That's right. I've always called it Mr. T's. I don't know why.
I'm gonna drink this without the hot.
Zing Zang has most of the ingredients that I would put in if I were making it with getting Clamato or tomato juice and then making myself. Yep. It's already got most of it in there, so I don't have to worry about futzing with it. I do add more horseradish. I like
celery salt.
Horseradish. Yep.
What else? Worcestershire, of course.
See, with Zing Zang, I don't have to add that because it's already in there.
Okay.
I normally would. Yep.
Yeah, for tomato juice or Clamato, I would add it in.
And soy sauce.
And I don't do soy sauce, but that's okay. It's a salty element, so it's not a bad thing. And, you know, if you've got them, I do like the sausage sticks. That's kind of cool. Or cheese and sausage sticks if somebody does that. I don't. None of that. And a dill pickle, probably. A slice of dill pickle. But that's about it for me.
So here's mine. And I'm gonna put the Zing Zang aside. I'm just going to do how I would make it if I was making it from scratch.
Scratch, yep.
So you have to have good vodka. You can't just do well vodka. It's got to be good vodka. Okay. Period. So you put the vodka in. You put the ice in. Then you put your horseradish on top. You put your celery salt on top. And I actually add a little bit of garlic salt. I have tried the garlic cloves that are already minced, but it doesn't add as much flavor as I would like it to. So I use the celery, a little bit of onion powder. Mm-hmm. Then I pour in the tomato juice. Then I do the Worcestershire. Mm-hmm. Then I do a little bit of soy sauce, a little bit of olive juice.
Okay.
Mix that all up. And then I garnish it with a blue cheese stuffed olive, a dill pickle,
delightful,
bacon. And then I put bacon bits and salt, or I'm sorry, pepper on the top.
Wow. Bacon and bacon bits.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That's my perfect Bloody Mary right there.
That's really good.
I don't do the celery because I don't like celery.
Oh, well, see, this is you, and it's different. I guess if I'm making it for myself versus making it if I'm working tending bar or something, the one that you repeat is the one that, you know, I used to make 10 of them or whatever, you know, you're going to do them exactly the same way. It's interesting. Some of it. Oh, by the way, just as an aside, which we do all the time on Potty Mouse, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry, before you go to your aside, I forgot my one key ingredient, which I also add to the Zing Zang.
Go.
You can't have it any other way. It can't be any other hot sauce. It has to be. Shit.
What? Show it again.
No, I'm.
Oh, I thought you were holding up a hot sauce.
No. It's
Cholula.
Oh, crap. No, Cholula is my favorite, but I don't put it in my Bloody Marys.
Okay.
It's literally just the pepper and the vinegar. It's very, very famous. It's the most famous hot sauce.
Tabasco?
Tabasco. Thank you. Knew it started with a T.
Sure.
I only put Tabasco in there.
Interesting.
Yep. Okay. Go on. I'm sorry.
No.
I forgot one more ingredient that I if I have it, I do.
Yes.
Tony Satchery's. I'll throw in a little Tony Satchery's. Tony Satchery's Creole seasoning. Look it up. My favorite Creole seasoning in the world. Okay, go on with your aside.
Wait, there's one more.
Wait.
I was going to say as an aside before you drew me back into the Bloody Mary, which was delicious. A deep pan with a lid or a pot, I guess you might call it, with a lid. My new favorite way to make bacon on the stove.
Really?
And I'll take the entire package of bacon and slice, cut it up in chunks and then put it in the bottom of the pan. We have a stainless steel pan, lid on, stir it occasionally. And I do the whole thing of bacon at once and throw it in a Ziploc and put it in the fridge, whatever I don't use the first time.
Right.
It's awesome because you always have bacon in the fridge and it doesn't splatter because you have the lid on. When you stir it, you know, I mean, it's going to spit a little bit because it's in a deep pan. It does not, it doesn't spit at you. So
that's how Mona does it too.
It's a hot tip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's brilliant. Love Mona.
Mona's my mother-in-law.
The other part about it is, yes, she is. The other part of it is, you know how you get the scrapings a little bit at the bottom when you're done? Deglaze it when you're done. If you want to make eggs at the time, deglaze it with frozen chopped up onions, which I have in the freezer. And it's beautiful. It deglazes it perfectly. I mean, if you have to throw in some wine, you have to. But you that will deglaze the stainless. And then you can put the eggs in and make the eggs right in the same pan. It's freaking awesome. And I do
sounds really, really good.
A little bit of the bacon grease, but yeah, pretty good.
I have been getting
it's a half a cup of bacon.
So I've been actually I've been cooking my bacon in the oven and no splatters, no nothing. It actually comes out really, really well. I don't know why I started doing that, but it is a little messy when you're cleaning up the pan, but it's much better than cleaning the stove. That's I can deal with a pan.
Well, so in this rental place we're in, the stove is a it's the electric, but it's the glass surface.
I hate so that's what I have. Up. I hate it.
I'm not a huge fan.
With the passion.
Well, we've had gas before, and we love gas. However, it's not available here or in our new place because it's all electric. So we're going with induction at the new house.
Oh, nice.
And I'm excited about that because it is, from a cleanup standpoint, it's really easy. And induction is going to be even better than this thing is.
Yeah, I can see induction being much better because the problem I have with the glass is it still gets hot. So if you spill food onto the then it chars, and then you have to get a razor blade to scrape it off, and it's just a pain in the ass. But induction, you're not going to have that because the surface isn't hot.
Yep. That's correct. Go to there are some YouTube videos that, and I want to say it's like vinegar and baking soda will clean it pretty well,
so
something like that.
It's baking soda, dish soap. You make a paste, you put it all over, and then you add vinegar on top of that. You let it sit for about 20 minutes, and then you wipe it all down. But you also can go with the razor blade and scrape everything up at that point. That's how we clean it. It's just a pain in the ass.
It's just a lot. It's a lot of work. We've got a dish rag or square, I guess, with like the scrapey stuff on one side and it's soft on the other. So I'll just generally... and I'm kind of the kitchen cleanup guy. I will, even when it's still warm, I'll use the scrapey side with a pretty wet cloth, and it takes most of it up. And again,
it does, but it's still,
I don't care.
Exactly. As time goes on, I mean, I have to do that full deep clean probably once every 2 months, maybe once a quarter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just a pain in the ass. I prefer gas because I can control the heat a little bit better. And that's important when you're cooking because
this thing stays hot. And I'm looking forward. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that with the induction because it's much the same from what I'm understanding.
The only thing I don't like.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I was going to say the only thing I don't like about induction is I'd have to go out and buy a whole new set of pots and pans.
Yeah, we're actually sort of due, so it's not a bad thing. We have some non-stick right now, and they're okay, but they have a shelf life that, you know, at some point it's kind of planned obsolescence with those. The and here's the test: if you're thinking induction, if your cookware is attracted by a magnet, it will work with induction. If it won't, it will not work. So you have to, there are a lot of people with stainless steel blends, you know, and it's some aluminum and so on, and it won't work with induction.
Oh, so our pots and pans would actually work because ours are
as long as that's the ultimate test. As long as it will work with a magnet, it will work on an induction stove.
Interesting.
Yep.
That's really interesting.
I thought that was kind of cool. So
anyway, it is. I didn't know that. Have I thought you had to buy specific induction pots and pans.
No, it's just the beauty of it is that it's a it's all about magnetic attraction, and that's what causes the heat to occur only in the pan where it's working.
So you have now convinced me. I will double check our pots and pans. You might have convinced me because I hate our stove and oven. It doesn't cook evenly. It's a pain in the ass. It's cheap. So yeah. I think that might be my next purchase after a dishwasher. I told you because I sent you pictures because we were going to do a podcast last weekend. What happened to my Jennifer makes fun of me because I call it a garburator, but it's the garbage disposal. It was something my mom called it. Yes. So I just continually call it a garburator. But it's so the brand is actually InSinkErator, but it's a garbage disposal. Yeah. So my mom blended the words and called it a garburator. Anyhow, funny.
Like it.
I was doing the dishes after making breakfast on, I think it was Friday morning. It was right after I had gotten home from traveling. And all of a sudden, the garbage disposal falls. Like you hear this big boom, and there's water going down into under the cabinet. I'm like, oh, shit. So I shut off the water and I go under there and I'm like, okay, what happened? And it's the whole thing rusted. So there must've been a leak for a long time that we didn't know about.
Oh.
And the piece, it just literally snapped and just fell. But well,
they're heavy.
They're heavy, but that wasn't the worst part. So I'm cleaning out the cabinet under the sink to go ahead and fix it and get a new garbage disposal and put it up there. And there's a massive dip in the cabinet under the cabinet, and it's all water damage that we didn't see because there was so much stuff on top of it. And so I ended up having to pull all of that out. Now these are pre-made cabinets. So, you know, the floor in the cabinet isn't something you can easily replace. It's not designed to be replaced. It's designed that, you know, your obsolescence, as you were talking about, is designed to have to be completely removed and put a new one put back in. I didn't do that. So I tore out the floor of the cabinet, dried everything out. I custom made my own floor for the cabinet, put that back in, and then redid all the plumbing for the under sink.
When you say you tore it out, how did you do? What did you cut it?
I started cutting it, until I could get enough where I could pull the rest out. Cause you have to pull out the nails and there was still a nice little gap in there that I could build a shelf on top of. So yeah, that was my fun weekend last weekend. And that's why we didn't get to podcast, because that's what I was dealing with. But that was really interesting as I was going through all of that. And I had to, all the plumbing was done backwards, which we had always wondered why we were getting water to back up into the sink. So I had to redo all the plumbing, then put the garbage disposal in, then connect the dishwasher. And I mean, it all looks good. It all works very, very well, except now there's a problem with the plumbing, because I guess when I shut the water off, there was enough back pressure to create a vacuum inside of the, so now whenever you run the water, it pulses. It goes boom, 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 boom. So I've got to get something to actually pull that air pocket out. I don't remember. I think it's called a plumbing arrestor or something like that. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't
know. You can't just open up multiple faucets. Nope. And
I tried that. Yeah. And I looked up, Google's my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the next project.
Do you have a whole house filter or no?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, okay. The whole house filter, I believe, would help with that. And it's just an add-in in your piping from the main source. And
yeah, I'm
not sure it would. Yeah.
So I don't know what this place, how this place was built, but the main source is in the crawl space. And then there's the only cutoff, because I remember I was redoing the shower and I probably spent 5 or 6 hours trying to find where the in-house shutoff valve was so you could just shut it off.
Wow.
No, I had to go out to the street and shut it off at the street.
What?
There's no valve in the house. There's maybe half of the houses in the, because I asked my neighbors, half of the houses in the neighborhood have shutoff valves. The other half doesn't. It's all one builder, and they decided to go on the cheap and not put them in the house.
Wow.
Yeah. So I would, if I were to put an in-house filter in, I'd have to go into the crawl space on the opposite. So the door's on one side of the house and the water main, if you call it that, is on the other side. So I'd have to crawl across to put the filter system in. It's not like it's in the garage or anything where I can just tap it up. So yeah, I've thought about it, but yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, Andy.
We'll leave that up to the next owner. There's a puppy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So anyway, that was my adventure for the weekend, and everything is working though. I've got a working carburetor.
Well, that's good. And I like that name. I get the whole Insyncorator because that we had that before. And speaking of that, I don't know if you can you see this.
Oh, is that the new? Wow, that's looking really good.
Build, baby.
They're missing something, though.
That's the problem. What's that?
It's missing something.
A roof.
Yeah.
And garage doors. And yeah.
Right. You don't need garage doors in Florida.
Watching it take shape now, I can already, you know, we get over there and we're like, okay, all right, we're getting close and we're not even close. It's still going to be many months and you know, we have trusses coming in. That is the beauty of these houses when they build them here, and they're all essentially done the same way with the cinder block and trusses. Mm-hmm. So any walls they build are never going to be supporting walls. So that's awesome. Awesome. If you ever, you know, for future owners, if they're ever going to redo something, it's all trusses. So you don't ever have to worry about, is that a load bearing supporting wall or right. So yeah. Anyway, that's the good part, but we're still going to be waiting. And all of those prices, by the way, have gone up dramatically. Oh, trusses almost doubled in price for the trusses.
Well, everything is almost doubled in price. I went to the grocery store.
Have you been to the grocery store?
Before. Yeah. 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 Well, and it's not just COVID. It's not just the war. It's not just gas. It's also bird flu. Do you hear about bird flu now? So the eggs are, it's like, this is ridiculous. But we have a very standard shopping list. I would say we don't deviate much from what we normally buy week after week. And last time we went to the store, we actually didn't even buy our full list and we were still $100 more than usual.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, this is absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely. Yeah. Granted, I did buy some chicken. I don't usually buy chicken.
Over the top, man.
Over the top. Yeah. And that's even sans alcohol. There was no alcohol purchased.
Yeah. I know ours has been the same way lately we're not getting wine or we're not, you know, and it's crazy. But what's made us better shoppers is we kind of know pricing now. Mm-hmm. For example, there was a whole chicken, raw chicken, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, we could smoke this. It'll be great. $8 or something like that for the whole chicken. And I went over to the meat counter and they have the broasted chicken for $6, whole chicken. Like, wait a second.
Yeah.
So that's
not how this is supposed to work.
I don't have to jump through the hoops to make it. So.
Yeah. Except, you know, making it is kind of fun too, though.
Well, it is, but not $2 plus the time fun.
Right.
I'm sorry. I can do other things, but
but
we'll use the whole thing in that, you know, one meal, maybe two. And Lisa likes to do salads with the broasted chicken, which is great. Mm-hmm. And then I just pick the bones and we'll do a soup or something like that. That's amazing, or pasta, or so you kind of get a little creative and we're getting better at not throwing stuff out, which is a big problem if you're, especially as empty nesters and you've got, you know, others in the house, but as empty nesters, it's tougher to cook for a couple of people.
Well, especially person, like, yeah, especially does. When all, well, I would say Jen and I will eat pretty much the same things and we like pretty much everything and there's nothing we get really picky about, but
yeah, Whitney, we rotate meals.
Yeah. Whitney will not eat certain things. Well, and let me, she doesn't cook. So she doesn't know how to cook. The kitchen scares her. So she's got a very particular thing, and it's not stuff that Jen and I would eat, because it's just not. And then Peyton won't eat what we eat and won't eat what Whitney eats. So we're making, granted, Whitney does her own thing, so she's fine. But we always have to make two meals, because
sure,
if we don't, Peyton's not going to eat what we're going to eat, and we're not going to eat what she's going to eat. Unless it's mac and cheese, and then we'll, you know, we'll add healthy stuff to the mac and cheese and pretend. But yeah, it's so it does make it a little bit more difficult, but it's not, again, we've had our budget, and we've worked on that in a certain direction. But the other thing was Costco. We do maybe once a quarter, we'll do a big Costco order. We don't go monthly, right? So yeah, let's say our Costco order is usually about $400. And if we go get it, maybe it's $450, but if we get it delivered, you know, with tax and title and above tax and title, wow. Slip into the car business. Tax and delivery fees. It comes in about $500, right? So the other thing we do is we, again, have a very standard list. So I can go into the app and literally go order my last order and everything will come. The last time I did that, I pulled it up. It was almost $700.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, hell no.
Wow.
Hell no. Yeah. It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy.
That's a really good exercise of ordering the same exact thing and looking at just the sheer jump with what inflation was doing. Holy man.
Yeah. That one got me, because you could argue the grocery thing and go, well, maybe you didn't get exact the same thing, or some things were on sale and something. Yes. No, this is literally going order.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah. It was. So needless to say, we don't have our Costco order.
Well, and so we're not near, since we moved down here, Costco's an hour away now. Unlike when we were in Wisconsin, it was, you know, half an hour, maybe something like that. So you could justify going once a month or something like that when we did. Other than stock up items, though, it turns into, you know, we needed this or we needed that.
Yeah.
Did you?
That's why we don't go. Right. That's why we usually order we'll eat the tip and the service fee, just because we know it's still going to be cheaper than if we go.
Exactly. And that is, you get there and you go, oh, I need this, or, oh, good, I can get some socks, or really?
Yep.
So, I'm with you. It's not that I love Costco.
Oh, me too.
But we just need to pay closer attention to what's at home. Now, on the flip side of that, and I know we're going to start wrapping up here. The flip side of that is our meat market here. Mm-hmm. We're meat market fans. We found a German butcher here that they're just amazing.
I bet.
So I'm German and you have some Germany too. Yeah, and so we found I went in the first time and I'm looking for fillets, because that's what we would do in Wisconsin at the butcher shop. And I couldn't see any. I'm like, oh, come on. So we tried a couple other steaks and they were fine, but we're fillet snobs. We just love fillets, and Lisa makes them better than 98% of the restaurants I've been to. And I mean, high end restaurants. Morton's, don't stand a chance against my wife. They are truly amazing. She has it down to a science. Now, but I did find they have whole tenderloins.
Nice.
And whole shazam. They're beautiful and they're expensive. But when you slice them up into steaks and freeze them, it comes out way less than what they are at the store, and way better quality. So we are just so happy with this place. Admittedly, it's most of our grocery bill if we go and get a big tenderloin, but it's worth the extra visit, the extra trip, because we dole it out appropriately. So anyway, it's been,
that's the
those
key
places
there too.
are awesome, because it's such great quality.
Yeah. I think that's something we do miss with having these giant stores where everything's in it, is just, and I am not a, I am not a, I don't like people. I hate people. Let's just bluntly say it that way. I hate people. I can't live like my dad does out in the middle of nowhere because I still have to have people around me, but yeah. I hate people.
But we've talked though, Nick, about, and I don't hate people. I don't like surrounding myself with elderly folks who don't know how to drive. They are everywhere here. So I was just going to say,
you're in the wrong state, John.
Oh my gosh. And I thought drivers in Arizona were bad, you know, because the people come down there and they're snowbirds. Yeah. And I thought drivers in Texas were bad. These people are the worst ever. And it actually, at least I had the conversation, maybe we need to sell the Harley because it's dangerous to be out with a motorcycle here. It's like they don't even see it. Wow. And it's a big bike. It's the size of a smart car, essentially. So anyway, it's just a circus. That said, I go at the easy times at the grocery store. We talked about, you know, 8 or 9 in the morning. It's awesome. Nobody there. And I get through the store with a full shopping list in 20 minutes. It's unheard of. And so, I avoid the crowds there.
So speaking of, I think it was just a fluke, but something similar. I went with Jennifer actually. I don't remember what day it was, but it was early in the morning. No cars in the parking lot. I was so excited. And then I walk into the store and the place was packed. I'm like, what the hell? It was like there. It was very, very busy, like people everywhere. And I'm like, where did you all come from? Your cars aren't out there.
Somebody dropped off a bus. What?
Exactly. Where was the bus? I didn't see the bus. I sound like an old Jewish guy. Where's the bus? I didn't even see the bus. That was actually a little bit of Seinfeld in there. It's good.
Yes.
That's my best. Where's impression.
The bus? Yeah. You got some George going on there a little bit.
Yeah, the George. Yeah. That was it. Yeah. Anyway. So I have, speaking of smart cars, I have so many more stories, but we're going to have to save it to the next episode, folks, about my, it wasn't a smart car, but it was the size of a smart car with a back seat. The last rental I had, it was a pretty good story. So hopefully you'll stay tuned. Come back next week to hear that story. I'll probably forget to tell it anyways, but hey, you know, let's toss the dice and see what happens. Maybe not. Head up to wahwahwah.pottymiles.com and check out all of the previous episodes along with this episode. Or if you're watching us on YouTube, smash that like button and don't forget to hit subscribe. Smash it hard. And then, you know, the notification bell. Don't forget to hit the notification bell because we try to get these up every Tuesday. Every Tuesday at about 6:15 a.m. Central Time is when the video goes live. That's very specific, isn't it? I don't know why.
That was well.
Thank you. Thank you.
I folks, know why, because you do it.
I do it. I do it, and I do it well. Folks, have a great week. It was fantastic talking to you again, John, as usual. I've missed you over the last 2 weeks, but hopefully it won't be 2 weeks more. You never know. Folks, have a great weekend. Happy Easter, and we'll talk to you. Well, hopefully you had a good Easter, because this isn't coming out until Tuesday. So anyway, talk to you later. Bye.
Bok, bok.
Easter. Ah, nice.